when you see people have problems, when you see people suffering and having difficulties, we ourselves do not have a lot of ability to help and to assist. We ourselves do not have much wisdom. We don't have any power. We don't have any effect. We're not doctors. You know, we're not psychologists. We're not healers. Right now, we're not. So it's very hard when we see other people have suffered from sickness, suffer from obstacles, suffer from pain, or suffer from losing something, or suffering from a loss, a death, a pet, or family. We suffer a lot, and they suffer a lot. But you see, this suffering is an energy. This suffering is an energy that can be lust, that can be hate, that can be anger, that can be giving, that can be helping. It's just an energy, and how we direct it is up to us. So when we see someone that we love or we care about, or other people, or a center member, or a friend, or anyone, and they need help, our heart goes out to them. Our heart going out to them and our energy put into feeling sorry for them can be directed better. It can be directed in the form of a puja. What is a puja? I'm not giving you that literal translation. A puja is an expression of your compassion for another person, another being. A puja is an expression, an action, a direct initiative to do something for someone who has an obstacle, who has a problem, who has a difficulty, who has some kind of pain or sickness or fear. And so to watch these people have pain and fear and suffering, difficulties, and we don't do something about it, doesn't make us a better person. Doesn't help our spiritual practice. Doesn't make our minds become enlightened, open up. To do something for them is very, very correct way of opening our minds up. Practicing emotional generosity. Expressing compassion. Expressing care. Why? Because the pujas that you guys are practicing are not made up. They are not ineffective, and they're based on an enlightened being. In today's case, Medicine Buddha. And the other, that last time you practiced, Tara. These deities, Tara and Medicine Buddha, really have a lot of effect. They really have a lot of blessing. They really have a lot of power to help. So what happens is that we who do pujas become a gateway, become a connection to help the person. So instead of looking at someone saying, oh, poor thing, oh, poor this, oh, poor that, poor this, if the child is suffering from whatever reasons and they can't do well in their studies and they're going to fail and they can't move on in their studies, if we do a Manjushri Puja for them, it's an expression of our concern and care. And it has energy. And we'll bless that person. If that person is very sick, same thing. We do a Medicine Buddha Puja, and we can expedite or quicken their healing. So a puja is an expression of our care, our initiative, and our sincere concern for another being. So when people ask you, what is a puja? You say, not the literal translation, because the literal translation of puja is to clear obstacles. But the human definition, the human meaning of puja, from my point of view, is an expression of your compassion, an expression of your care. All right? So when you do pujas in that way, it's very effective. Very, very effective. Why? Any action that is preceded by or motivated by compassion or bodhicitta has much more effect. Any action we do that is motivated by any form, any level, any amount of bodhicitta or compassion has more power. Why is that? Two reasons. When it's motivated by bodhicitta and compassion, you are tapping into your real mind, your Buddha nature. When you tap into your Buddha nature, you push yourself to become a Buddha. Very effective for yourself. On the second way, when it's motivated by compassion and care, That is the main ingredient for Dharma practice. So for Dharma practice to have effect, our mind must be free of selfishness. Selfishness and Dharma doesn't match. Selfishness and protector practice doesn't match. Selfishness and Medicine Buddha doesn't match. Selfishness and Manjushri doesn't match. So selfishness and Dharma practice doesn't match. Hence, if we do selfishness with Dharma practice, even after 10, 20 years, not much result. Why is not much result? Because our mind is still selfish. So selfishness here is not good or bad. It is an ingredient that must be removed from the soup so the soup tastes good. Therefore, if you do Dharma work with selfishness, it's harmful for yourself. It's not effective for others. And also, why is it harmful for yourself? Because although you're practicing something so good from great lamas, after so many years you have no results, very little result. It's harmful because you waste your time. You receive something so great, cannot. Like a hungry ghost, who you give them very good food, but their mouth is the size of a pin. They cannot fit it in. Even you give them such nice food, cannot fit. Even a little bit, they have their fertilizer like that. A little bit. That's really a hungry ghost. And when the hungry ghost takes the food and it goes down their long, thin, gray neck, when it comes to the stomach, it burns like gastric. It burns and burns and burns. In fact, the food creates pain. Why they have the karma to experience that? So therefore, if you do Dharma work, Dharma practice, Dharma meditation, Dharma anything with selfish motivation or innate selfishness, the effect is very little. Why is it very little? Because Dharma and selfishness is the opposite. If you have oil and you put a wick on top and you want to light it, but you keep putting water, it'll burn out. Even got oil, it burn out. Even got oil in the lamp, if you keep putting water, when the water mixes with the wick, the fire has to go out. Even still got oil. So oil is like Dharma. Can light up a room. You can open up the oil, you put a wick on top floating like in the Chinese temples, and you light it, it can light up and you can see things in a dark room. But if you keep putting water, the light goes out, even got oil. So water is like selfish motivation. In this case, oil is like Dharma. Hence, if you have oil and you can light it and you can see, why you need to move around in the dark like this? Why you keep putting water? Similarly, if you do Dharma work and people think, how come I do my sadhana so many years, I do my mantra so many years, and I do talk, I do this, and I don't have any power, and in fact my mind becomes more lazy and more worse, because you haven't removed the main ingredient, selfishness. Selfishness. If selfishness never gets removed, how many years do you have left to your life? How many years? Aren't you afraid of your death? Aren't you afraid to be alone and close your eyes and no one can help you? Aren't you afraid of what you're going to see after death? If you are selfish and you cover your actions, it means you're afraid people know you're selfish. But you know what? People know you're selfish is quite scary, but what's even more scary is when you die and your selfishness comes back to you. This one's very scary. So hence, if you're selfish, your Dharma work cannot get result. So two options. One is get rid of Dharma work, be selfish, or get rid of selfish and do Dharma work. Of course, it has to be number two. Very simple. The more selfish we are, the more ineffective our practice is. The more water we put into the oil, the less we can light. So therefore, instead of thinking how to get rid of selfishness, instead of blaming, instead of hiding, instead of avoiding, we should just stop the selfishness. You see, if you stop the selfishness, you win. Why? You don't have to put energy to hiding, to avoiding, to defending, to protecting your ego. You don't have to. Why? Put the energy toward cut your selfish out. Put the energy toward cutting selfishness out, not toward covering selfishness. Both ways, energy what? Both ways you have to use your petrol. So therefore, it's time for us to wake up and do something now. Now, why? What are we waiting for? What result are we waiting for? What time are we waiting? What year are we waiting for? How many years do we need to wait? How many years? When we started Dharma 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we said we're going to do really Dharma. And then we start, oh, it's difficult. Okay, I do next year. Oh, now I have work. I do 2 years from now. Oh, when I'm 30 or 40, I do it. And then we keep making time to delay the real actual Dharma practice. And what happens when we look back? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, gone. And a lot of these people who ran away from Dharma, they ran away from this themselves because they've been running and running and running. So when they face the real Dharma, they have to run again. Why do they have to run? Because they never create the causes to face themselves. Never. How do you know that? Where there's smoke, there's fire. So you use example like this because they're not successful in any part of their life. Because they're not successful in any part of their life, when they run away from Dharma, you know they're running away from themselves. If they're very successful in other parts of their life and they run away, okay, maybe have something else involved. You guys understand? So let's say that Ben Kui just works in a normal job. She cannot get married. She don't have any friends. People don't like her. And then she joins Dharma. After 5-6 years, she run away. Oh, Rinpoche's bad. The Dharma student's bad. The Lajong's bad. The KH is bad. Oh, Yokui's bad. This is bad. That's bad. They run and they tell other people they're bad. Fine. Stupid people listen and say, oh, maybe true. Smart people say, wait a minute. But you didn't do much with your life. You don't have many things in your life. So if you keep saying it's bad, maybe the problem is not Dharma. Maybe the problem is you. Why is it you? Because why you fail at everything? Can think that way. My point, this is not criticism for people who left. This is for us to examine by logic about ourselves, how we run away. Pujas is a beautiful expression of compassion, which is the key to open the Buddha's heart, to bring blessings on the person we're praying for. So why do we do pujas? In order to show our concern, love, and care for someone else. That's why we do pujas. And pujas are effective because they're based on an enlightened being, rituals that collect merit and purify negative karma, and aspirational prayers that is dedicated towards that person for their future. And on top of that, if that person sponsors, maybe they cannot do the puja, maybe they don't know how, or maybe they're far away, or maybe they're too sick, or maybe they have too many obstacles, they cannot do the puja. So when they give you the money to buy the items you offer to the Buddha, you make a connection for them. You represent them to the Buddha. You guys understand? You represent them. So therefore, the reason for sponsoring puja or sponsoring sangha to do puja, sponsoring food, is that you cannot do it or you cannot be there. So in spirit, you're there by making offering. So the monks represent you, or you, the Dharma Sangha, represent them towards the Buddha. And therefore the pujas have that kind of effect. So even people cooking in the kitchen, that's why in the monastery there are monks who don't do pujas, they cook, they supply for the monks. They collect merit also. And it's an expression of their compassion to help the person who the puja is for. So therefore all work in the kitchen, serving, puja, whatever, is all Dharma work. It's an expression of compassion. And also, when we do the pujas, we alone don't have power. We alone don't have attainments. We alone didn't do our Dharma practice, so we have power. So we need to invoke the Buddhas. So to say, oh, I don't have power, I cannot do anything, I'm normal and I don't do anything, is just another expression of laziness, selfishness. Laziness is from selfishness. The mother to the selfishness is laziness. Laziness is the son of the mother, son. The mother is selfishness, the son is laziness. So therefore, to sit around and say, I cannot, is pure 100% laziness. And to accept laziness and accept selfishness and say, that's how I am, and to accept to do that is a very bad sign. Why is that a bad sign? Expect more problems, expect more obstacles, expect more suffering, expect more traps, expect more. Why? Why? Buddha punish you? No. Your selfishness punish you. Your own selfishness punish you. Okay? So therefore, when we do pujas, we should do it knowing that we cannot do much, but pujas is a way for us to care and love and help, even though we don't have power. And to learn the pujas well, and to learn the rituals well. Why do we need to learn the rituals well? Why? Because if we're highly attained, we don't need rituals. We can heal someone just blowing on them. We can help somebody by speaking Dharma. We can purify someone, even if we beat them. We can purify their karma, if we're highly attained. If we're highly attained, we can scare them. They walk by, rah! And they jump, they're very scared, the karma purifies. If we're highly attained, we can do that to people. We can scare them. If we're highly attained, we can scream and shout at them and make them very sad and make them angry and make them run away. We can even save their life. If we're highly attained, we can scream and shout at them. We can scare them. We can do many things to them if we're highly attained. Why? Because we can do it directly. We don't need puja. We don't need the Buddha. We are the Buddha. If you're highly attained, you are the Yidam. I am Yamantaka. So if I slap you, it is not me, it is Yamataka slapping you. And the person will have effect. Their life will be saved, karma purified, obstacles, something pushed away. So highly attained people don't need to contact the Buddha to help you. They are the Buddha. They are the Yidam. They themselves are the Yidam already. Remember, a Yidam is not a god. A Yidam is something you can attain. So a highly attained person can be a Dharma protector's emanation, can be a Yidam, or have become one with the Yidam, or have gained some attainments close to the Yidam. So when they do it to you directly, they don't need a puja. They don't need. When Kensa Jamba Yeshi scolds us and screams at us, he has screamed at me. It is Yamataka screaming at me. I don't have any anger. I don't have any negative thinking. I don't run away. I listen and I say I'm sorry. Because I know he's purifying my karma much better than the puja. Quicker and faster and direct. Much faster. When Kepje Sarumchi beat the monks severely, the monks live, their diseases are gone. Why? Because Kepje Sarumchi is already Hiruka. He's already Hiruka. When they scold us and they tell us off and they shout at us and scream at us, we feel pain, we feel anger, we feel, ayo, why like that? But if we feel like that and we let go and say, no, it's a blessing, and don't think anymore and let go, it becomes a puja. Becomes a puja. Even in a non-dharma world, when people shout at you, it means they love you. When people tell you off, it means they love you. If you reject the love, you're quite stupid. Even in a normal world. So therefore, people like us, we don't have that power. So therefore, we need to invoke Yamataka. If Yamataka rules, we need to invoke Setra, we need to invoke Tara, the medicine Buddha, because we don't have the power. But if we do Yamataka well, we do Manjushri very well, we become Manjushri. We become Hiruka, we become Yamataka. I am Yamataka. Why? Then the power is directly from the person. Why is the power directly from the person? Everyone can become Yamataka. Everyone. Does everybody understand that? So therefore, ordinary people like us, we cannot directly affect or help people. Directly. We cannot do directly. Hence, since we cannot do directly, since we cannot affect them directly, we have to do it indirectly. Indirectly can be pujas. Indirectly can be doing Dharma work. Indirectly can be studying Dharma. Indirectly can be doing retreats. Indirectly can be holding our Samaya. Why, if we hold Samaya, we gain attainments. If we do Dharma work, we gain merits to become better people. If we do pujas, we bless that other person. You see, so indirectly we can do. Through Dharma work, through charity, through pujas, through retreats, through holding our samaya. Those are indirect ways to help other beings. We help other sentient beings, that's why we hold samaya. We wish to benefit other sentient beings, that's why we have guru devotion. We wish to help others and benefit a certain person, that's why we do pujas. We wish to be a tremendous benefit to others, therefore I become a monk and I hold my vows well so that I can study Dharma, no distractions. That's why we do Dharma action. Every Dharma action should be motivated by bodhicitta or a false bodhicitta, meaning artificial, not false, artificial bodhicitta. Then it becomes real. So therefore, if you have the power, you do it directly. If you don't, I don't, you don't, we don't have, we do it indirectly. Does everybody understand that? That's the purpose of pujas.